Back together again, you and I, for a midweek Wednesday, September the 7th, 2022, right here on Connecticut Today. We wondered aloud about Governor Ned Lamont's latest cross-endorsement for the November election and an apparent deal involved in that whole thing. Sacred Heart University Department of Government Chair Dr. Gary Rose came back with us, checked in for his monthly update. He analyzed an apparent new tone from Bob Stefanowski's gubernatorial campaign.
Interesting news today on the political front here in Connecticut, of course, because there's always kind of some neat stuff going on. When you folks, when you and I, we all walk into the our voting places, there are really no more voting booths, so I can't say that. But when we shuffle on in or slide on into our polling places, coming up less than 2 months from now, on November the 8th, to cast our ballots for local and statewide elections, you are going to see the name of Governor Ned Lamont and the name of Governor, Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz on not one, not two, but three different ballot lines. Oh, man. How is that possible, you ask? Well, let me explain to you. Let me explain to you, Lucy. This made news this morning, this version out of the Hartford Current, but I was kind of chuckling, you know, reading this, to myself and others in my mind, in the deep recesses of my mind before I came on today. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont receives third ballot line in November. Governor Lamont got the endorsement Wednesday of the state's newest political party, making him the first governor in more than a century to have three ballot lines. He's on there for the Democratic line, which is to be expected. That's his main party. And he got what they call a cross endorsement from the Working Families Party line here. Okay, that's not... It's not unusual for the Working Families Party to endorse Democrats, because that's happened here in Connecticut, you know. And they say, well, I'm a Working Families Party member, but I'm not necessarily a Democrat. I know. But Lamont has scored a strategic political win with the endorsement of the Griebel-Frank Party, which was created by business executive and, by the way, a numerous-time guest on Connecticut Today here, the late Oz Griebel, and attorney Monty Frank, who has been on this program in Oz's stead and his memory, talking about the fact that they wanted to institute real change here in the state. Now, since the party gained more than 1% of the vote in 2018, it's entitled to have a line on the ballot for the 2022 election. Now, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, if that's what the... If that is what the state law says, and we've been down that road numerous times here, I'm like, well, okay, whatever. Besides being a Democrat, Ned Lamont has also obtained the endorsement of the union-backed Working Families Party, with Griebel Frank added. The governor will have three ballot lines. Voters will see his name three times. Now, I understand those are the rules, and I'm not accusing the governor of not playing with the rules, because the rules are the rules, and he was able to do this. Just the way, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Bob Stefanowski was upset that, you know, he thinks the rules were broken as far as the Independent Party of Connecticut not giving him their endorsement and settling for a guy named Rob Hodling, who's got zero chance of getting elected. And, you know, the chairman of the party, who we had here on the show a couple of days ago, you remember, he said, well, you know, we had to speed it up. It was tied, and we were running out of rental time for the hall, so I cast the tie-breaking ballot. Okay. Lamont appeared with Monty Frank and others outside the state capitol Wednesday to announce their endorsement. Now, the governor said, quote, it reflects some of the broad-based support that Susan and I have, yada, yada, yada. Monty Frank said, our endorsement is not based on left-right ideological issues, but instead was premised on their commitment of the people of Connecticut to lead change to enact ranked choice voting. And, okay, you know, when we talk with Monty about this, Alana, we talked to Oz Griebel about it when he was still alive before he passed away in that tragic accident. And there are areas that are using ranked choice voting, and that's fine. But come on. Really? See, here's what I don't get, and you tell me what you think here. 203-333-9422 on these cross endorsements here. And frankly, I've never voted on a cross endorsement line, and I can understand a candidate maybe getting a second cross endorsement, but three? Really? Now, Monty Frank said, Governor Lamont has pledged to introduce a bill in the next legislative session for ranked choice voting in federal elections and to give municipalities the option of using it in single office races. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. Let's talk about that, shall we? Monty Frank says, quote, Governor Lamont has pledged to introduce a bill in the next legislative session for ranked choice voting. I'm saying, well, that's interesting. Okay. Then I get to the second line. In federal elections, and to give municipalities the option of using it in single office races. We look forward to working alongside the governor to pass the bill. That's kind of interesting. Let's read that sentence again. Governor Lamont has pledged to introduce a bill in the next legislative session. Okay. Now, he can introduce anything he wants. His party, with all the power in the House and Senate, they can just laugh at it. But this is an interesting caveat. Listen to this. Governor Lamont has pledged to introduce a bill in the next legislative session for ranked choice voting in federal elections, and to give municipalities the option of using it in single office races. You know what that means? The translation is, the governor will introduce this bill to help more Democrats get elected. Really? So, Monty, with all due respect, we're only going to see a bill here introduced in the state to use it in, if I'm reading this right, or maybe he's wrong or I'm wrong, for ranked choice voting in federal elections. Translation there, wink, wink, wink. You know, this way we can keep the Republican candidates further down in the polling. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I'm just reading it for what it is. But Governor, and by the way, there are a lot of progressives and Democrats around the country that don't like ranked choice voting. I'm kind of ambivalent on it. I mean, I keep looking at it and saying, well, okay, this person thought it was great, and that person is aggrieved, so I don't get it. So Governor Lamont has pledged to introduce a bill in the next legislative session. Now, again, he can introduce anything he wants. Doesn't mean the legislative leaders will even pick it up and read it. For ranked choice voting in federal elections and to give municipalities the option of using it in single office races. What about statewide races? Can we have that in, oh, that's not going to be possible in statewide races, is it? Jeez, I wonder why. And to give municipalities the option of using it in single office races. So some can use it and some can't. Man, oh, man. this is just great. This is just great. And listen, I'm all for different voices in the political process. But, these folks, I've had these folks on before and I'll try to effort them again. But I see this and I hear this and I'm like, well, wait a minute. So you're going to endorse a guy who's already there, who has two endorsements that are already there, right? And you're basing it on one thing that he's going to introduce, right? I'm a little foggy on that. Aren't these second and third line endorsements supposed to, or cross endorsements, What are they? Is this just a gimmick to get more votes and not have to do the work for them? Or are we really hearing different ideas or not? See, I'm a little confused with this whole cross-party endorsement. So the governor's on three different lines in the upcoming election, and he played by the rules. I'm not accusing him of doing anything weird, but how does this foster new and different voices, right? How does Governor Ned Lamont, and I'd say the same thing if it was a Republican governor too, how does this foster new and different voices here? Or is this all just a racket? Are these third-party endorsements just a way of, I don't know, an end-around among the voters and party members? You tell me. And should these third-party endorsements allowing candidates to have more than one line on the ballot be allowed here? Just a notion here. Second party, okay, three lines? I mean, come on. You just know the nature of some of the dummy voters out there who are going to say, he's on the ballot three times. He must be gooder. Joining us right now, as he does about once a month or so to talk all things Connecticut politics. He's the chair of the Politics and Government Department at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Dr. Gary Rose. Gary, good afternoon, sir, as always. How are you?
Good, Paul. Good to hear from you, and good afternoon.
Well, thank you, Gary. By the way, Gary, while you were on hold, Ned Lamont was given a cross endorsement from four other parties now. So he's now on seven different lines.
Seven lines, okay. Yeah, right. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, Gary. Isn't it interesting? What do you think of that whole thing? And I've talked to Monty Frank numerous times. I used to have the late Oz Griebel on the show. It was kind of interesting, Gary, because if you saw the quote, Monty Frank says, well, the only reason we're doing this is that, you know, the governor has promised, and he can promise whatever he wants, the General Assembly is what does it, to introduce this ranked choice voting thing. And, Gary, I don't know about you, but that almost it kind of reeks of a little bit of payola. I mean, I don't know, but did this surprise you or not?
Oh, there's always a trade-off, you know, when a minor party chooses to cross-endorse, just like when the Working Families Party, actually the Working Families Party was directly responsible for helping, you know, Dan Malloy in 2010 beat Tom Foley. I mean, it was their cross-endorsement that put him over the top. What, you know, this is not at all unusual for a small party to try to leverage itself by negotiating, you know, with the lead candidate here. And in this case, it's not surprising that Monty Frank would try to leverage his, I guess you could say, so-called party, which we can talk about in a little while, you know, with the governor and to try to get the governor to commit to ranked choice voting. You know, but you already said it. I don't need to say it, but I'll say it. You know, the governor doesn't control ranked choice voting. As you said, it would have to, it actually would require a constitutional amendment to change the way we conduct our elections here in Connecticut, and that is no small, you know, task. So Lamont, you know, can speak to it. It's sort of a progressive type of position to take. I have a feeling that you know, deep down he's thinking, well, I'll say I support it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Before we get to the new turn here in the Stefanowski campaign, let's before the break here, Gary, you said you wanted to get into so-called party. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we had the Griebel, Frank, you know, Connecticut party in 2018, and you know, it got over 54,000 votes in that election. But, you know, that's not, in my view at least, that was really more of an Oz Griebel, you know, personality movement. Mm-hmm. And people voted, and they got a lot of votes, actually, you know, a lot of combined votes there, more than like the Independent Party and more than the Working Families Party. But
I even think the Hartford Current endorsed him, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Yes, they did. They endorsed him. You know, and he, you know, the Metro Hartford Alliance business connections that he had up there. And he was a well-known businessman in the Hartford area. But really, I felt that was really more of of an Oz Griebel type of movement as opposed to a legitimate party like the Working Families Party and like the Independent Party, yeah, or like the Green Party and the Libertarian Party. So, you know, the question I have is, okay, so the party is in cross-endorsing Ned Lamont, but those 54,000 votes aren't necessarily going to go to Lamont. You know, so many of those votes went to Oz Griebel. Mm-hmm. And without Oz there now, tragically, of course, he was killed, you know, jogging, hit by a car 2 years after the election. I question where that cluster of votes will actually go based on this cross endorsement. Some will go to Lamont inevitably, but let's not forget Oz Griebel originally was a Republican. You know, he did run as a Republican for governor the first time, mm-hmm, didn't make it, and I think some of those votes will probably go to Bob Stefanowski still. So I'm not, you know, I don't necessarily see this as a real bona fide political party yet.
Our monthly check-in with Dr. Gary Rose, who chairs the Department of Government and Politics at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield. Gary, a lot of folks may be surprised yesterday, and it looks like that Bob Stefanowski and his campaign, Gary, may be taking a page out of the Glenn Youngkin campaign from last year, talking about parental rights and the right for your child not to have to compete against transgender athletes, the right for parents to decide, you know, when their kid gets any sort of sex or gender education. Surprised are you or not?
No, I'm not surprised. And, yeah, I saw him up at the state capitol, you know, speaking about that. And those are key issues in contemporary elections. And parents are very concerned, not just in Virginia, you mentioned Youngkin, but also right here in Connecticut as far as what's going on, you know, in our public schools. And so, yeah, I think that it's actually a pretty wise strategy on Stefanowski's part to do that. He will, of course, you know, and I listened to him speak once. He said under no circumstances would he allow the Lamont campaign to ever define him and, you know, Laura Devlin in this campaign as they defined him the first time. And inevitably what we're going to hear, of course, is that, you know, he is anti-gay and everything else, mm-hmm, which, of course, we're seeing about, you know, the abortion issue, even though he's pro-choice. So it's a little bit of a risk there, but I would say that the positions that he's taking on that, you know, transgender athletes, you know, competing, and there is unfairness involved in that. And he's talking about what's being taught in our public schools to our children, you know, who are not even in third grade yet. I think that actually is to his political benefit. And I think there are voters out there that are saying, you know, Lamont's not talking about those issues. And Bob Stefanowski is. And I'm concerned about those issues. And there are individuals, I'm sure, who have been reading the papers this morning and saw the press conference who probably say, you know, this guy is actually addressing something that is important to me. And so I would say that, and it doesn't matter if Connecticut's a blue state, nevertheless, down in the grassroots, and don't forget, a lot of town councils are Republican, mm-hmm, in this state. I think that Bob Stefanowski is addressing an issue that could give him some good political support in November.
So the word, Gary Rose, that you and I have seen that they're trying to define Bob Stefanowski with is extreme. They say it over, yeah, and over again. You see it and hear it from Nancy DiNardo, oh, yeah, on down. Do they stay with that? Do you think this policy statement that he puts out, does that fuel that, or might they change their tactics? What do you think?
No, it will continue to fuel that. You're not only going to hear that he's an extremist on, you know, economic issues and, you know, the abortion issue as well, but now they're going to go, I'm sure, they're going to go after his position on, you know, transgenderism and gay rights and all of that stuff. And they will take, and they're very good at doing it, they will take, you know, his positions on these issues, which I know a lot of people probably agree with. And they're going to convert that into presenting him as if he's, you know, this far right MAGA Republican.
Mm-hmm. Ultra MAGA. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Ultra MAGA, right. That's what they're going to try to do to Stefanowski. He's going to have to fight back. And that's something that I'm sure his consultants are aware of.
And Gary, it does, though, I think you alluded to this a couple of seconds ago, it will push the governor to at least maybe have to respond to this, which should be interesting. In other words, hey, Governor, Bob said this. How do you feel about this? And a lot of times, Gary, you and I both know that it's the underlings that actually throw the punches, where the nice guy or gal on top is supposed to smile and be a little more civil about this.
Yeah. Lamont's going to have to talk about this, and Stefanowski is putting it out there, and he's elevating it, which to really being a key issue in this campaign. And I would hope that that those press reporters at the Capitol, when they have conferences with him and so forth, press meetings, ask him, what do you think about what's going on in our public schools? Because for all intents and purposes, he's been very quiet on that issue. Mm-hmm. And he's talking all about how he's cut taxes and did a number of things here in Connecticut beneficial in inflation and so forth. But they have to now start getting into those issues too, because those are emerging, and not just in Connecticut but nationally, as paramount issues in campaigns.
Gary, finally, last issue for you here. It seems by the reports we've been seeing that both the National Democrats and the Republicans have their eye, maybe the only race that's actually in doubt, maybe, Gary, in the state, you don't know, is that 5th District congressional race, with it looks like both parties and some major PACs are sinking some money into that race between Johanna Hayes and George Logan.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be millions sunk into that race by the time we're done. And so much of it is coming from out of state and, from the national committees, as you mentioned, as well as individual super PACs. And once again, Logan is being depicted as an extremist. And that seems to be the playbook. And they are taking his positions on abortion and other issues and making him look as if he's this far right, again, MAGA Republican. and that's really the strategy. He's fighting back against Hayes, on economic issues. But it seems to me, from what I can tell so far, that the Democrats are really a little bit out ahead of the Republicans on this one in defining George Logan. And so I think he has his work cut out for him in this campaign. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, the fifth district is where it's all happening. That's becoming a national contest, and it has national implications for it. And that's one seat that the Republicans certainly feel that they can flip here in Connecticut. Another district is the second district. Competitive race there with Mike France, running against Joe Courtney. But that one is not as much of a toss-up and as competitive as the fifth.
Gary Rose, as always, we thank you, Gary. Take care, and we'll talk next month. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Paul.
Appreciate it. Dr. Gary Rose there, Sacred Heart University in Fairfield.